Well, welcome again to our celebration service tonight. Thanks for being here. It's been a really awesome weekend so far. And if you've been able to stop by one of the schools there at Stockmeyer or Independence High, you saw the chaos, the awesomeness of people serving several churches together. There are literally thousands of people at Independence High School yesterday, and they're still there today. In fact, I got a text message not too long ago from Kalani, who is the leader of our team at South Bay that went out there, the hundreds of people that went out there. And she said, we're still going. So they're still moving mulch and planting stuff and finishing up because students have school tomorrow. So tremendous. The effort that went on out there. We're going to show you some pictures and videos at the end of our experience today so we can celebrate that together. Well, we've been in a series called Happy, and it's quite a cool series because it's basically about the Sermon on the Mount, which is the sermon that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago, right in the beginning of his ministry, that summarized the rest of his teachings. And he basically started to talk about what it means to live a blessed type of life and what a blessed life looks like for each one of us. Now, a lot of his teachings were contrarian to the normal way of thinking, and we've been talking about that and what the word blessing actually means, which is a happiness that comes from God. It's a happiness that's internal and that's beyond circumstances. So it's not just the happiness that we pursue in our day-to-day that is like if everything goes right, then you're happy and you're pursuing for, you know, you're living life so that everything goes right, but then when it goes wrong, happiness leaves. The happiness that Jesus offers is beyond circumstances. And he's basically teaching us how to be that type of person who has the blessing of God in our life. So he starts the Beatitudes, and it's in chapter 5 of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip there. If not, it'll be on your screens as well. And he says this. He says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice or righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And then verse 7, the one we're going to camp on tonight. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but in our day and age, it seems like to me, like mercy is not quite seen as a virtue, but more like a weakness. So Jesus' statement is really contrary to our way of thinking in our day-to-day, where we celebrate and we rejoice, even watching shows about things like revenge, things like getting even, and maybe even fairness, right? Like everything needs to be fair. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. And here comes Jesus saying, actually, it's not quite like that. It's not really that important for you to be fair in that sense of the word. I want you to be different. I want you to show mercy, to give people undeserved treatment. Good treatment. So it's a different way of thinking. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So why is Jesus saying this? And so as I unpacked this idea, even the last couple weeks, I've been thinking about it. The more I got into it, the more I realized this is like the foundational teaching that could change everything about our marriage, about our own perception of self, our idea of God, our gratitude toward God, our idea of life and what we're meant to do. It's really, in a sense, wrapped up in this word, mercy. In fact, when Jesus spoke with people that were in problematic situations or stuck in religious, burdensome type of lifestyles, he would often come to them and say this one phrase, and I want to talk about this phrase. He says, I want you to go and find out what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Then he'd walk away. Let me show you a couple of these texts as it shows us in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 9, there's one of these where he is interacting with some Pharisees, and it basically goes like this. He's calling a guy named Matthew to follow him. This is Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. It says, Jesus was walking along. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors who were known as some bad people in their town. Nobody liked tax collectors. And it says, and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? So they're like insulting the disciples and Jesus. Why are you hanging out with these types of people? And then Jesus heard this and he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. Then he wrapped it up and said, I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So it's a little bit weird, right? They're complaining to Jesus about him hanging out with these, sinners. And Jesus turns to them, and instead of like just explaining himself in whatever eloquent words, he says, I want you to go and find out what this scripture that you believe that's spoken by your prophet, it was the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament of the Bible who quoted this. He says, I want you to go and find out what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. See, in Hosea, the prophet, the whole context of this quote was this. Hosea 6:6, it says, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Now, I'm not sure if like these religious people walked away like, what was he talking about? Like, well, sacrifice and whatever else. And sacrifice seemed to be a good thing, right? Like we teach that as a church, like you got to give it all, surrender all to God and sacrifice things for his cause. But here's Jesus saying, actually, like in this instance, there's something that trumps sacrifice, and he called it mercy. See, it wasn't enough to perform religious sacrifices and rituals to Jesus. That's why religious people hated Jesus and eventually wanted to kill Jesus. Because he said it's not about religious sacrifices. It's not necessarily about memorizing the Bible, attending church every single week religiously, repeating memorized prayers, and abstaining from impurities. They're all good things, but it's not really the priority. If that's all that there is to show for our lives, we've missed the entire point. You see, he was speaking to people who think they're godly for ritualistic attending services and doing all these good things, but not having a heart of love and compassion toward their God. He was speaking to people who think they're righteous because they attended some course, they gave a certain amount of money, they performed some religious ritual, but they weren't connecting their hearts to what was happening. See, the reason behind the sacrifice is everything. There's people of many other religions in the world who sacrifice their lives for what they say is God. But Jesus is changing here the story. He's not talking about that type of sacrifice. He's not talking about that lifestyle. He's not necessarily saying the sacrifice is bad, but he's helping them see it through a different type of lens. Let me give you another passage where this happened again. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 6. And what's happening here is Jesus is with his disciples again, his followers. He's walking around these grain fields, and it's on the Sabbath. Now, if you've studied this before, you know that the Sabbath was a holy day for the Jewish people. Like, you're not supposed to do any work. You're supposed to rest. It was designed by God as a day of rest so that they can have gratitude in their hearts. It's a day to pause and meditate on the good things that have come into your life and get closer to your Creator. And it was a beautiful day, but these Pharisees, these religious people, had made it a day of extreme pressure and guilt. And every little thing that they were trying to obey in that day made it so that they missed the point of the day. So here's Jesus walking on the Sabbath with his followers, and they're hungry. So they're picking out grains, wheat grains, the heads of grains, and eating them. Now the religious people came and said, why is your disciples eating or harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Now, it's not like they're really even harvesting grain, but they say, why are they harvesting grain? Because they exaggerated the whole story. And Jesus, instead of looking at them and kind of explaining himself or saying, I'm sorry, or whatever they might be wanting him to say, listen to what he says again. Verse 7, you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy and not sacrifices. See, to people who struggle with guilt, religious pressure, it's people who have a hard time with balancing this life of service and feel like they get burned out and don't quite know how far to go. Jesus looks at us and he says, I need you to learn something. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And then he walks away. Matthew 23 is another one of these passages where he says, talking to religious people again, what sorrows await you, teachers of the religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're so careful to tithe even the tiniest amount of income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but don't neglect the more important things. So here's Jesus again. These people are making a big deal out of this concept of tithe, which is a biblical concept that God had built into his people, this idea that they would bring back a tenth of what they received to him as a way of saying, I am so grateful, God, that you are my provider, and I trust that you gave it to me. It wasn't my doing. And so it's meant to be this thing of gratitude and a position of the heart that you would come to God and say, you're my provider. But these religious people, like many of us, they saw it as a guilt trip, like something that you had to do and they felt pressured to do. So they were being so careful, like I'm going to tithe even like for my gardens, you know, like I have 10 pieces of basil and I'm going to give one of those back to the temple because I'm trying to be so careful. But in doing that, they were missing the point of it. That generosity has to flow from the heart of those that know God, and it flows out of an intimacy with God. Now, it's not that we should say, okay, like I'm just not going to tithe anymore because I don't know how to do it from my heart. Jesus actually said, yes, you should. In fact, followers of Jesus should be generous people. We should be tithing and going way beyond all of that, but many of us are still stuck on this religious approach to generosity. We don't even want to give a little bit. We don't even know what, you know, because we feel pressure. And Jesus will look at us and he says, hey, go learn something. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You see, let me unfold this so you actually understand also what this whole mercy idea is all about. See, often we interchange two words, the word mercy and the word grace. And I want to show it to you through this illustration of these two cups. You see, before I get into the cup, so let me just define a little bit mercy versus grace. See, mercy is God looking at us and saying, I am not going to give you the punishment that you deserve. So you deserve a punishment, and God says, I'm going to give you mercy. I'm not going to give you the punishment you deserve. Now, grace is God saying, I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve. I'm giving you goodness when you don't deserve it. See, mercy is God saying to us, look, you have a penalty for your sin. You deserve something for what you've done. That's bad. And I'm willing to not look at that. I'm going to give you mercy. I'm going to give you treatment that you don't deserve, though you deserve punishment. Grace is God saying, I have a gift for you. Not only am I taking away the bad you do deserve, but I'm giving you something good that you don't deserve. You see, it's kind of like this. When we sin, the Bible says that we have a curse in our lives. We're under the wrath of God. God is a just God, which means he must punish sin. If he didn't, he wouldn't be a just God. We wouldn't like him anyways. He would be an unfair, an unjust type of God. But because he's just, when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. It's like we have a cup of poison. And this is not what we deserve. We are deserving of death. So we're walking around with this cup of poison because we've sinned. Unless you have not sinned before, you have a cup of poison that's been dealt to you. That's the consequence of our sinfulness. Now, it's not just like if you filled the cup. The Bible says that even one sin equals death. So it might be one drop in our cup when we are 3 years old, and that does it for us. It might, whatever it is, some of us have a big cup, very dark and is overflowing. And you know, that might be you. Some of us are like this, depending who you are. You might know where you stand on this. Some of us have had a lot of stuff in this cup before. And here's what God is willing to say. He's willing to say, you deserve death, but I'm going to put it away. In fact, not only put it away, but the message we believe about Jesus is that on the cross, Jesus drank the cup of wrath. And he says the punishment that humanity deserves because my Father is a just Father God, I'm going to drink it upon myself. Just kidding, it's not poison. Thought I'd trick you with that one. But he drank it. He drank the cup so that we don't have to drink it. And he says, those that believe in me don't have to drink the cup because I drank it on their behalf. And you can not only have your sins forgiven, but then he hands us another cup of grace. Not only are you forgiven of what you do deserve, but I'm offering you something good. I'm offering you life and salvation and freedom and abundance. So here's a God of love looking at humanity and our deserving of death. And he's willing in his justice to say, I am going to fulfill my own justice with myself by sacrificing my own son on your behalf because I love you so much that I don't want you to suffer my wrath. He fulfilled his own wrath on our behalf so that those that come to him don't have to carry around a cup of poison. But not only that, the beauty of it all is that he comes and he says, I am willing to give you life and life abundantly. Now listen to this verse in Ephesians. It basically summarizes this. Ephesians 2:3. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger or wrath, just like everyone else. All of us are deserving of death, it's saying. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life as he raised Christ from the dead. And it is by his grace that we are saved. You see, we were under the punishment of sin, but by his mercy, we've been forgiven. By his grace, we are saved. In his mercy, he lifts us from death. In his grace, he brings us to life. You deserve death. So everything that is not death is good to us. And that changes everything. In fact, next time your kids complain to you, here's what you say to them. You deserve to die. It's awesome. They have big eyes and they're like, what do you mean I deserve to die? You deserve to die. Have you made a mistake in your life before? Yes, Daddy. I have too. You and I both deserve to die. Are you dead? You're not. Oh, you're not. Okay. You know what? Everything that's not death to us, we should be grateful for because we deserve that cup right there. Everything that is not death should equal gratitude. So here's these people, religious people, like some of us here, some of, you know, I'm included in that we have some religion to us, and they're missing the point. They're doing all these good things, and they're sacrificing, and Jesus is looking at them saying, hey, you're missing out on something very important. You can do it because you have to, or you can do it because you get to. See, when we grasp the richness of God's mercy toward us, we are compelled to extend undeserved love to those around us. When we grasp this mercy idea, it's not just sacrifice anymore. It's out of gratitude, it's out of heart, it's out of joy. It changes the way that we worship our God. It changes the way that we view our life. See, mercy, though, is not just this idea that you're like, you know, giving someone a little bit of compassion. It's not this. Like, when we understand that we are all under this penalty of death and that there's rescue that's come our way that's undeserving, then our lives begin to change. We begin to say, okay, that means that every single person unlike me, that I don't like, whatever it is out there, I am obligated with joy to extend mercy and compassion and love to them because I don't deserve what I got either. It changes the game. See, mercy is the ability to get right inside of the other person's skin until we see it with their eyes, we think with their mind, we feel with their feelings, we even participate in their suffering. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? This is Jesus in our skin, thinking like we think, feeling like we feel, taking our pain upon himself. That's the example of mercy. And when we live a merciful life that Jesus says brings God's blessing into our life, it means we have to put ourselves in the skin of others that are different than us, that are unlikable sometimes, and people that we love. See, some of you have experienced this for someone you love. Like you felt their pain before, and I've experienced this in a kind of an exaggerated sense also because of some weaknesses that I have. And I want to share some of these with you so you get an idea and just get a laugh on my behalf as well. I have a tendency to pass out when I see people in pain. And this is not a good thing when you're a pastor, by the way. And at one time when we were starting South Bay Church, some of our staff that were there, they remember this day. We were doing these events called comeback events. There was like we had a preview service for the community. Then we invite people to come hang out with us for fun, just to get to know some of our team at South Bay Church and see if they want to be a part of this church. So they're like kind of coming to hang out with us and see if we're weird, basically, right? So we invited them to go to the movies with us. And this movie we went to see was a movie by Will Smith called 7 Pounds. Anyone seen that movie before? Terrible movie. Don't go see it. So anyways, we're in this movie, and it's supposed to be a good movie. I just didn't like it. But near the end of this movie, the movie is all about pain and suffering. And at the end, he's in this bathtub, and there's some sea creature inside of this bathtub. He's basically killing himself and letting the sea creature thing electrocute him to death. And it's showing him in all this pain, like, oh. So, and I'm watching this thing, and I know how I feel now. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, this is not good. I start kind of getting lightheaded, and I'm like, okay, think about the beach. Think about your wife. And I'm trying to think about everything good in my life so I don't think about the movie. But it's dark. It's like right there in front of me, you know. So I couldn't stop. And before I knew it, I black out in the movie theater. But not only that, I was eating a lot of popcorn. And I came back up and I kind of resurfaced. And I saw the little, it was like right at the end. So like the credits were coming on the screen. And I'm like, bleh! I just threw up all my popcorn back in the bag. And I said, here, Andy. And everyone's like, what's happening to that guy? I'm like, I just ate some bad popcorn. And it was terrible. And nobody came back to South Bay Church after that. I'm just kidding. Some of them still came back. Another instance, I was with my friend Rodney, who's a pastor of a church I worked at before I came to South Bay. And we were visiting a girl that was a college girl that was in the hospital. She was really sick, and she asked us to go pray for her. So here's me and my friend Rodney going to the hospital to pray for this girl. And I just remember there's like 2 beds in this hospital room, and we're right by hers. And she's sharing with us what she's going through, and she had like tubes on her and stuff, and she was in pain. She could hardly talk. And then so my friend Rodney starts to pray for her, and I'm like, I just kind of go sit down on the bed next to her. And before I knew it, I wake up and I'm on a wheelchair. And there's this nurse that's pushing me out of the hospital on a wheelchair where I went to pray for somebody that was sick. And it didn't go so well. So I don't go visit you in the hospital, by the way. I'm not the pastor that goes. If I am, it's bad news for you because it means you're in very bad shape. And then I'll be in bad shape as well. Anyways, there are several more of these, and maybe I'll share with you some other ones later. But I tend to pass out. But here's the thing. I'm not saying you need to pass out. All I'm saying is this. There's a part of mercy that is similar to this. It's us feeling the pain of others intentionally. Saying, I am willing to be with you in your pain. I am willing to not just think I'm better. I'm willing to be like Jesus. I'm willing to clothe myself with mercy. It's not just, though, for those we love. That's easy. That's what everyone else does. Followers of Jesus are called to a standard that brings the blessing of God, by the way, that's very different than all others. It's a standard that says, I want you to show mercy even to those that are undeserving, that you don't like, that are your enemies, because you also were my enemy one time. You also were under this. Colossians 3:2, it says, since God chose you to be his holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. See, extending mercy to people might be something like this to you, to your spouse. It might mean that you take the blame when you think it's their blame. It might mean that you stop thinking that you deserve better, because at the end of it all, you deserve death. It might mean that we stop complaining, that we start having more gratitude. It might mean that we for our coworkers. We go above and beyond to serve them because we know how well we've been served. See, in view of the mercy of God, our sacrifices begin to change. To our friends who are far from God, it might mean to share the message of hope. To some of you that are exploring faith in Jesus, maybe this is a little bit unusual for you, but some of you are here today because some follower of Jesus did this for you. They went above and beyond, clothed themselves with mercy, and showed you a love they had never seen in your life before. See, I asked my life group this past week if this question I often ask myself, it's a really hard question to ask yourself, which is this: if I went to your workplace, for example, and I asked all of your coworkers, pull out a note card, say, can you write down on this note card the name of one or two people in your workplace that you have felt or sensed the most amount of love from? The person that you say, they go like above and beyond even for people that don't like them. The person that has compassion burning in their hearts. Would our names be on that piece of paper? If I went to your neighbors or my neighbors and asked them, hey, write down, or your friends, by the way, write down here who among the people that you know stands out as a person that is full and wrapped in this idea of mercy and compassion. In fact, when you are in pain, you know that if you shared it with them, they're going to feel it with you. That you know that there's compassion that would flow out of them. See, it's a hard question to navigate. And a lot of us maybe don't live that type of life. But the type of happiness that Jesus says can come our way is a happiness that comes when we understand this idea of being merciful. There's a blessing of God. And when you're merciful, the gift back to you is mercy. See, with some of these other beatitudes, it was different, right? Like you mourn, you get comfort and whatever else, like you get something different. But with mercy, you get more mercy because it's a cycle. That's how God did it, right? He showed mercy so that we can show mercy, so that we can receive mercy from him. It's a circle that's how things are changed. Relationships, marriages, friendships in our workplaces, things begin to change. Now, you might be thinking, this sounds a lot like sacrifice, this whole idea of like going above and beyond. And let me go back to Hosea 6:6 for a second. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. See, it's not that the sacrifices were bad. It's just that it has to come out of an overflowing heart for Jesus. That's what really pleases him. We don't do it to earn the love of God. In fact, if we do it to earn the love of God, we've missed the point. There's no way you can ever have God love you more than he already does today. It's not to achieve salvation. He already gives it to us freely. It's called grace. It's right there. We just have to come to him willing to give up our lives. It's not just so we don't feel guilty anymore that we give and we tithe and we serve and whatever else. We do it because we get to, not because we have to. The more that you and I love God, the more generous that we become with our compassion, our possessions, and our love toward others. See, the more that we love God, the more our generosity in all aspects of life multiplies. And when we understand this type of mercy, we move from I have to I get to, because we've received a type of grace and a type of mercy that is so abundant that we are compelled to pass it on to others. I was meeting with a guy from our Sunnyvale campus 2 weeks ago. And, you know, us here at North San Jose, we're a little spoiled in one way that we come here and everything's all ready to go. But in our Sunnyvale campus, we have to set everything up at our community center. So we arrive at 6:55 in the morning, a huge team of people, and we set up everything from scratch to make it look like this. And there's a guy who wakes up about 4:30 in the morning every Sunday to go drive the truck that picks up the trailers in Sunnyvale and brings them into the to the community center so we can unload them. There's three of them, 24-foot trailers. We unload them and we pack it. We set up everything out there. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, can you go check on Josh to make sure he's not getting burned out? And so I was like, sure. So I went to Josh. Josh, how's it going, man, with serving? I know you work for FedEx and you have to wake up already like 3, 4 in the morning every single morning. Do I need to take away your responsibility on Sunday so you can have a morning that you can sleep in since you have to do this every day? And he said, don't. I was like, why? He goes, man, I wake up early every morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I hate going to work. Like, I get no fulfillment out of that. The only day I'm excited to get up in the morning is on Sunday when I know I'm get to go and do something for God. Now, it's not that you can't get excited to work in a place that stinks and all that stuff. There's purpose in all of it. What I'm saying is this. Our perspective begins to change when we do what we do in light of mercy. Because it's been done for us, we now feel like, oh, it's so good to give back. It's a blessing to give because I have received well. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. You see, it's not that we don't sacrifice. Every follower of Jesus, the original 12 disciples, they died for the cause of their message. They sacrificed themselves. But sacrifice looks very different when you do it in light of mercy. It becomes a journey where you don't do it for religious ritual. You don't do it because you have to. You do it because you get to, because it's an honor to do so. What I want to finish our time with is really in a spirit of celebration, because I am so excited that when I even look at our church, we are a church who gets this and who extends mercy to people around us. And this whole weekend has been really wrapped around this whole idea of serving. And yesterday I was at Independence High School walking around and, you know, giving some supplies to people that were there. And there were literally 2,000 people that came to Independence High School alone to come serve this local school that didn't ask for our help, that didn't even know exactly how to receive the help we wanted to offer. But they were in total amazement that churches would unite efforts to come and beautify and renovate a school with no agenda in mind. And here are hundreds of people serving with joy in their hearts, with, you know, I mean, even now, you know, they've been working for 2 days nonstop, and they're going back to work tomorrow. All because we've understood that there's mercy that's been given to us, and now we give it back. I don't know where you are in that place, but as we watch this video and as the band comes up now and gets ready for that too, I just want to encourage you to think through how your heart is in regards to mercy. And maybe as you watch this, you want to write down in your connection card, I need to take the step toward Jesus. I need to take a step toward mercy. I need to deepen the condition of my heart so that I can serve God, not out of obligation, but out of joy. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you have been merciful toward us. You so loved the world that you gave your Son so that we can have life. And I thank you that we get to give also because we love you. And I pray that as we explore this, that as we even go home now and go figure out what it means to have you desire mercy and not sacrifice, that you would speak to us, that you would bring joy in our hearts, that you would bring the blessing, Jesus, that you promised 2,000 years ago, that those who are merciful will receive mercy also, that you help us to experience that type of life and to serve you in such a way that it shows the world that there's a God who drank the poison for them and that offers them life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's watch this video as we celebrate a beautiful day.